My prayer is that you guys are really determined this year to meet the goals you have set for yourselves. If you have set some goals this year, would you slip your hand up so I can see where you're at? Okay, many goals here today. Let me pray for a moment for the Word of God. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, God, that we can just come and just learn of you, God. And what I would just ask, Lord, is very first day of the year, that you would just reveal yourself to us, God. Thank you so much for Forward and the family that we have here. Lord, I just pray that you would touch us right now as we go into your word. I pray this in your son's name. Amen. Let me read to you something that really caught my attention. Just this morning, I will be honest with you, I had another sermon in mind, and I was in my balcony this morning, and I read this, and I said, you know what? I think I'm going to preach this instead. So pray for me. Ezekiel chapter 37, and it says this: the hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw, notice this, I saw great many bones on the floor on this valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, oh, Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you. And lastly, he says this: you will come to what? Life. Verse 6, let me read this also. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover your skin. I will put my breath into you and you will come to life. You will know that I am the Lord. How many of you today need to know that the Lord is the Lord? Be honest. Yes. So he did it. Look, verse 7. I prophesied as I was commanded. As I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Lord says: come forth, wind, O breath, and breathe into it. Now let me just explain to you something real interesting. As I read this morning, it really caught my attention because I said, man, this is exactly what everyone is going through. And if you're not going through it, you will. And you're probably thinking, well, David, what exactly is that? Is when you need to know that the Lord is Lord, when you need to know that his word is true, and when God has placed you in a valley where everything around you looks bad, everything around you looks really bad. And maybe you might be here this morning and that's what your 2011 looked like. It looked really bad. Well, today, the word is for you. Because I thought about this. Just last night, I had some company over, some church people, and they came over. And I don't know who it was. I'm going to find out. But this morning, I woke up to a huge puddle in my counter. It had dripped to the floor. And apparently, one of the plastic cups, just like this one, was broken, and they didn't bother throwing it away. So I know you know who you are. I don't know. So anyway, there was water everywhere, and I walked in this morning to my feet getting wet, and I'm thinking, what happened here? And all of a sudden, I found the cup, and it had a slit on it. It was broken. What's interesting is that it really spoke to me, because at some point, the cup was filled. At some point yesterday, it was full of something. But all of a sudden, because it had a leak, it started draining. With time, throughout the night, maybe, I don't know, for hours or minutes, I don't know, I wasn't there, but it started leaking out. There came a point that it was empty. And I said, my God, that's exactly what so many of us feel like. There's so many people that at one point was filled with life. You were filled with joy. You could probably remember a time in your life you were filled with peace, happiness. You were filled with dreams. You were filled with just desire. You were filled with this joy that just brings so much satisfaction to your life. But something happened. And I often hear people say, I feel like there's a hole in my heart. There's something missing. How many of you this morning, by a show of hands, feel drained? Yeah. Are you drained? Do you feel like you can relate to this cup? Can you say, well, yeah, Pastor, that's me. At one point, I can remember a time where I had that joy. I can remember a time where I felt God was so close to me. I can remember a time that I actually smiled. I can remember a time that I actually got some sleep. I can remember a time that I didn't cry as much as I do now. I could remember a time. But now I feel this hole. I feel this void. I feel this emptiness inside of me. And isn't it interesting how duct tape works wonders? Amen? If you go to Forward, you know there's duct tape everywhere. We fix everything with it. So I love the fact that you can duct tape something like this. Refill it. The void is gone. It stays filled. That's wonderful. Amen? We serve a duct tape God. Yes, I said it. Because our Lord works wonders. Amen? And this is what I see God doing. Like that cup, God sees someone that has a void in their life. God sees someone that's broken. God sees someone that's empty. God sees someone that once had joy, once had peace, but now there's such a void, there's such a hole in your life. He knows that. And I want to tell you that God knows that about you. God knows. You can fake it all you want. You can pretend all you want and fake the smile and the laughter. But you know that we serve a God that looks within the heart. And he says, I see that void that you have. Hey, I see that emptiness that you have. And throughout scriptures, you see where Jesus would walk and he'd see these people in need. And there he was, patching up the hearts, working wonders. And you know what I love about this? In the beginning, as it was leaking, you say, well, the cup has lost its purpose because cups were designed to be filled and stay filled. And you might have thought, throw it away. But now because it has the wonder-working magic of duct tape, purpose came back. Can I just tell you something? Someone needs to hear this today. You may feel empty. You may be void. You may feel like you've gone so far away from God or your mistakes are just so bad. But if you would ask Jesus Christ into your life, he can cover you in such a way that he will bring purpose back into your life. Amen? He will bring purpose and use back into your life. And many people feel like they should just be thrown away by God because I've just done this and I've done that. And I hear it all the time. God is done with me. But he's not. God has a way of covering up your life and bringing purpose and value back. He doesn't want to throw you away. You can tell him all you want. What you've done, what you haven't done, who you are. And he still wants to bring life into your life. This is what happened to Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a man of God. He was a preacher. And the nation of Israel, God's people, had rebelled. They wanted nothing to do with God. Ezekiel came at a time where idolatry was just so rapid and growing, and the people of God, who once had joy of the Lord, who once were so close to God, now are so rebellious, so sinful, have gone so far away from God, maybe you can relate, The people wanted nothing to do with God at one point. And they started allowing the world's influence in. And they started allowing other gods in. And they started allowing sin into their lives. And it took a matter of time only for the nation of Israel to be punished. They were taken captive. As they were led astray, the families broke apart. Children were taken away. Lives were lost. It was such a disaster, all because they decided to turn away from the Lord. If you decide to turn from God, disaster will fall upon you. It's only a matter of time. And this is exactly what the nation of Israel is experiencing. So Ezekiel is called as a preacher to go into this place. Well, number one, they're far away from you, Lord. Number two, they want nothing to do with you. Number three, they're in sin. And number four, you want me to go preach to them? I can relate being called into the ministry in Miami where I say, man, God, you really want me to preach here? No one wants you. No one really desires you. It's so sad. Just a few weeks ago, I went up north to the Bible Belt, and it's so different how everyone loves Christ and you see such a godly influence in that city, but then you fly back to Miami and you quickly realize God's not that popular here. Amen? Yeah. That's what Ezekiel felt like. You know what's interesting? As the people were led astray and their lives are falling apart because they did not desire God anymore, the people of Israel were crying out to the Lord. And they felt as though God wanted nothing to do with them anymore. They felt they have gone so far from the Lord. They felt like, what's the point? What's the use? God doesn't want anything to do with me. And this is what I hear a lot of people say. I'm just so far from God. And that's it. He's done with me. The reason Ezekiel was called to preach to these people was because these people needed to know that God loved them. God was not done with them. God wanted to revive them because they felt dead. I want to speak to you this morning on revival. Revival simply translates to come to life again. And I know that in this room today, or listening to me online around the world, there's someone listening to my very words right now that feels like they need to come alive again. You've been dead for a long time. You feel this emptiness for a long time. And maybe like these people, you feel like God is done with me. God has forgotten about me. What's interesting, Ezekiel receives a vision from the Lord. And you read it here. He takes him to a graveyard. God puts this vision of a graveyard. He felt like he was there. Ezekiel looked around. And he saw bones everywhere. It was a horrific sight. A graveyard. That graveyard represented death. It represented hopelessness. It represented at first sight like nothing could ever change. It represented the end of the road. Ezekiel received this vision because the people of Israel felt like they were bones, like they were dead, like they were living in a graveyard, that they reached the end. And Ezekiel himself felt like these people were hopeless. What's the point of preaching to them? What's the point of trying to help them? They're dead, God. So he takes them to this graveyard. And he says, look around. What do you see? And Ezekiel replies, I see bones. They're very dry. I wonder what Ezekiel felt. I could only imagine what he's thinking as God brings him to this place where everything looks hopeless. Everything looks like it's ending for you. I wonder what he felt as God brought him to this place where it looked like nothing would ever change. You probably don't have to imagine. because you probably feel like God has brought you to your very own graveyard. Maybe 2011 was a graveyard for you. Maybe last year, you, like Ezekiel, you looked around at your life and you feel hopeless. You feel as though God has led you to the end. You probably look like Ezekiel and you look around. And I want to ask you, what do you see? What do you see right now? 2011 was a year where some young woman sat in the doctor's office and she saw an x-ray with cancer. 2011 was a year where a mom or a dad looked at their children. They saw their rebellion. They saw that they wanted nothing to do with God. And they felt like they were in the graveyard. It's hopeless. 2011 was a year where you look around and you're saying, God, why have you brought me here? 2011 is a year where someone buried a loved one and suffered pain as they missed them. 2011 was a year where someone went to some divorce court. Someone went through some suffering. Someone went through some funeral home. Someone went through some doctor's office. 2011 was a year where, God, you feel like you've brought me to this graveyard. What do you see? There was no denying what Ezekiel saw was hopeless. There was no denying that it was bad. What do you see right now in your life? How bad is it? How bad do you want to tell God, this is really bad, God? Do you feel ever like God has brought you to a graveyard? When life is really bad, when you lose things, when you suffer, don't we tend to blame the devil all the time? I hear it all the time. Oh man, Satan's attacking you, David. Oh man, we need to pray because the devil's attacking me. Oh, the devil's in charge. No, the devil did this. No, let me tell you something. The devil had nothing to do with this one. Verse 1. The Lord brought him and set him down in that valley. The Lord did it. There are times in your life where the Lord will bring you to a valley. The Lord will drop you off in a graveyard because he's trying to teach you something. Amen? Don't ever think that everything is an attack from the devil. It could be God setting you in a classroom to teach you something. And as he sat in this graveyard, the one thing I can almost be certain he was thinking, God, why did you bring me here? Have you ever asked God that? Lord, why have you brought me to this place in my life? Why, God, would you allow this to happen to me? Why have you brought me here? Why am I going through this? You look back 2011, you say, man, God, why? And verse 2, what's interesting is he not only sees bones, but he describes them as very dry. Very dry, there literally is translating a long time. What Ezekiel saw and what God was telling him, this problem is going to be around for a while. How many of you would appreciate God telling you that? No one would. But God was showing Ezekiel, this is going to be a while. This is going to be a long time. Can you relate to a dry bone in your life? Can you relate to a certain problem you've had forever? Can you relate to a certain person that keeps doing the same thing to you for years? Can you relate to a certain problem that seems like it never changes, it never goes away? Because there are moments in life that you're going to look at God and you're going to say, God, how long will I be suffering this? How long will I continue to be here in this place? How long will they continue to never change? It will never change. It will never be different. God, how long? And what happens when you feel like a problem never goes away? Let me tell you. You begin to believe four things. Number one, things will never change. It's been like this for years. This is how I grew up. This is how it's always been. And when you have that attitude that things will never change for me, all of a sudden, you hit the next stage, which is hopelessness. And when hopelessness sets in, you become in this emotional bondage. You begin to feel discouraged. You begin to feel depressed. You begin to feel afraid. And you look at your life, it'll never change. It's hopeless. And I'll just get sad. And then the fourth stage, which is the worst, you begin to lose faith in God. We never want to admit this, but there are many people here listening to me right now. You might have lost faith already that God's going to change a certain problem in your life or change a certain person in your life or a certain addiction in your life. This is how the nation of Israel felt. It will never change. God hasn't come through for us. It's been years and we're still broken. That's why Ezekiel was sent, to remind the people that even though it's been a long time that you haven't seen me working, even though it's been a long time that I haven't delivered you, even though it's been a long time that you've had this problem, I'm still the Lord. Amen. I'm still God. Hey, I'm still in control over them. I'm still in control over that person, over that problem, over that situation. How long? That's the one thing that I see so many people ask me. They ask God. You probably go to sleep at night and you say, how long, God? How long would it be this way? God, when? How long will my marriage be like this? How long will I be single? How long will I be broke? How long will I be sick? How long? How many of you, be honest, have been asking God how long? Yeah. God hears it all the time. There's some people in Scripture that ask God, how long? Job, for example. Job chapter 7, verse 4. If you know the story of Job, he lost everything in a matter of days. His family, his finances, he got sick. When I lie down, I think, what? How long? Before I get up. Job went to sleep every night with his thoughts. How long? When are things going to change in my life? David went through this too. David had every person attacking him. David was stuck in some cave. He was lonely. He was depressed. And Psalm chapter 6, verse 3, my soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord? It's so bad in his life, he says it twice. How long? That word soul is describing his emotion. He was in emotional anguish as he would look at his life and he would see the people attacking him and how things weren't going his way. Mind you, both Job and David were great men of God. So if you're here and you think because you're a great Christian, you're never going to go through stuff, I'm sorry you came this morning here. Because it's not in the Bible. There'll come a point in your life where you ask God, how long? Has anyone here ever gotten an answer from God? Let me tell you something. God will not tell you the time. God will not tell you, hey, you'll be delivered on this day, so relax for a while. On Friday, you're going to think I'm weird, but on Friday, I usually every Friday have a bowl of soup for lunch. It's just weird. I don't know. It's Soup Friday. That's what I call it. So anyway, Friday afternoon, it's soup time, right? So I pour a bowl of soup into this bowl. And you guys know the routine. You know, you pop this thing in. And let me just tell you, we know the routine. You grab it, you pour it, you stick it in the microwave, you shut the door, you set the time, and we wait, right? So I was doing this, and I said, man, I feel like this bowl of soup. You ever feel like God has placed you somewhere, and shut the door on you, and it's pretty dark in there? Yeah? And all of a sudden, he sets a timer. You think things get better because you see a light, but man, it's getting hot in here. And it's getting pretty bad. And the thing, my microwave has a little spinny. Anyone in the microwave spins? You ever feel like you're going in circles in life? And things get worse? That's what my bowl was doing. When, David, are you going to get me out of this? Oh my goodness, so hot in here. How long am I going to be suffering this, David? Get me out. And that's what you feel like. You're going in circles in life. And here I am, and I know the time. And I'm waiting. And this is what we all wait for in our life when it says, end. Finished. That bow in there doesn't know how long I put the timer for. God is the one on the outside. Hey, we're in the microwave. I wish I can tell you how long God's going to have you ill. I wish I can tell you how long God's going to have you single. I wish I can tell you how long God will have you with financial struggle. I wish I can tell you how long you're going to be in this problem. But I can't because I'm in the microwave too with you. But God's in the outside watching. And there comes a moment where he reaches in, takes you out. There's a moment in your life you have to believe that the microwave is not forever. There's no button there or in any microwave that says eternity or forever. So why do you tell God, I feel like I've been here forever. I feel like nothing's ever changed. There comes a moment where God reaches into your life and he pulls you out. Your graveyard is temporary. Your valley is temporary. This is why God was preaching this. What God was showing Ezekiel was you need to tell my people that I'm coming. This is exactly what God wants this church to know. It's not forever. I'm coming. Would you look at your neighbor right now and tell him he's coming? You hold on. Encourage him. Come on, say whatever comes to your mind right now. Hug him, kiss him, say, it's okay, buddy. You're in the microwave. We're in the microwave, people. It's hard. We're going circles. But God is keeping watch over us, and he sees the timer. Though the nation of Israel felt hopeless and like God had forgotten them, like often we do. Oh, God has forgotten about me. Oh, this problem is forever. Ezekiel was all about God reminding the people, hey, revival is coming. Revival is coming. Though it seems dead, life will come back to you. Things are going to change. Ezekiel, you tell my people that. I haven't showed up in years. I know I've been quiet for a long time. But I've been watching. I've been there. And in verse 1, this is the one thing that caught my attention. The very first thing it says in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 37. Let's read that one more time. The hand of the Lord was what? Say it. It's upon me. What that literally translates is God's presence was with Ezekiel. And when Ezekiel was in this graveyard, I never read throughout this chapter, and the Lord withdrew his hand. Did you? In the graveyard, the hand of the Lord was still upon him. In the graveyard, we often believe God has abandoned us. God has left us. He's forsaken us. He's gone. He doesn't remember me. But in Ezekiel 37, you will never read, and the Lord departed while Ezekiel was in the graveyard. No, the hand of the Lord remains upon him. God's presence goes with you everywhere. God's presence goes with you in the graveyard. You're not alone. Don't you forget it. He hasn't let you go. He hasn't let you go. Don't fear the graveyard. And I love, in closing in this chapter, he challenges Ezekiel. Speak to the bones. In other words, talk to your problems. Tell your problems, tell those bones to live. You know, I wonder, why did God tell Ezekiel to do such a thing? God was testing Ezekiel's faith. Because he asked him this one question: can this live? Can these bones live? In other words, do you still believe I'm God? Do you still believe I can change this? Or are you going to be like them? Are you going to say it's over? It's dead. It's hopeless. And he says, God, only you know. And that's exactly what God needed to hear. Because had Ezekiel said, no, it's hopeless. No, it's useless. He would have been telling God, you're hopeless. God, you're useless. When you look at your problems and you say it's hopeless, what you're really telling God is that he is not God. He is not Lord. Some of us need to stop listening to our problems. Telling you it's hopeless, give up, it's over. And you start prophesying to them, saying, I know that God will change this. It won't be like this forever. Change is coming. And you're in the graveyard now. But God is asking you, this problem change? Can your bones still live? Or is it hopeless for you? Have you given up already? Start speaking. God listens. Ezekiel spoke the word of God. And according to scriptures, when you speak the word of God, it does not come back void. There is power in the word of the Lord. This is why when you're dealing with a problem, you need to remember the word of the Lord. You need to remember the scriptures and what God says relating to that particular problem you're dealing with. If your problem is finances, you need to remember the word of the Lord. I will supply all your needs. If your problem is a rebellious child, you need to remember the word. Instruct the child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. when you're depressed because you're single and you just feel like there's no one out there, remember the Bible in Genesis says it's not good for man or woman to be alone. Start quoting the Word of God. There's power in the Word of the Lord, and believe when you speak it that it will happen. Amen. I heard a story of a serious drought over in Kentucky a few years ago. And this pastor, full of passion and just full of just God, you might say, he gets his whole church together and he calls the whole, it's a true story, he calls the whole town over. And he says this, we are going to pray for rain. And I want the entire town to come gather and we're going to speak the word of God. And we know that we're just going to see God deliver. And the whole town gathered. Every church came together. Every pastor came together. And they started praying these bold, ridiculous prayers. And there was one little boy that came. And when they were praying, he held an umbrella. And people looked at him and said, it's not raining. What are you doing with that? And he said, no, but I know it will because I believe God's going to answer my prayer. And every pastor there was filled with conviction. Because a lot of us pray prayers that we ourselves believe God won't answer. Be honest with yourself. You believe, oh, God, give me this. God, I pray for this. But in your heart, you say, well, but he's not listening to me. He's not going to change this. But you need to have such faith that when you speak the word of God, he listens and he will answer according to your words. And when you pray for rain, how many of you would have the faith to bring the umbrella when there's not even one rain cloud outside? Because you know that God will deliver. I wonder if you're like those pastors or are you like that child? Do you believe what you pray? And as Ezekiel spoke the word of God, he heard a noise. He heard shaking. And he saw the bones come to life. That's what revival is. The bones lived again. The nation of Israel was lost, but when they heard the word of God and repented of their sins, God brought them back to life. Imagine what Ezekiel thought when at first sight it seemed hopeless, it seemed dead, it seemed dried. But when he believed and spoke the word of God, he saw it come all to life. And he saw it come all together. And he saw God work wonders. And he saw God come through like never before. Imagine that that same thing can happen to you. And I'm here to tell someone, 2011 might have been a graveyard, but 2012 will be a revival. Amen. 2012 will be your year that you see God work miracles. You see God work wonders. And God is telling you today, I know it's a graveyard this the past year, but I'm still God. I'm still in control. Get ready for revival. You need to tell that to yourself. Lord, I'm ready for the revival. I'm ready to see you work. I'm ready to see this person in my life I've been praying for a long time come to Christ. Lord, I'm waiting for my healing. And I know that revival is coming. Don't you give up on the Lord. Let us pray this morning. Father, we lift up this message, Father. When we're in the graveyard, and each and every one of us here, there's a need for a revival. There's a void, there's an emptiness. But we know that you have the power to fill us again, to bring back to life that which is dead in our lives. I pray for anyone here that may be in the valley, that may be in that graveyard looking at dry things that's been so problematic for a long time. We know that you're God. We know that you can work miracles. And even though we're in the microwave, we know it's not forever. If you're here this morning, we're going to do things a little different today. Just stand to your feet, everyone here in this room. Everyone. When I was praying last week, I was actually on the phone with Mom, and I was talking to her. And I said, you know what, Mom, I feel that God is really speaking to me to tell our church something. We all have these New Year resolutions, and we all have these goals, and they're all different. If we can go around the room, you would hear all types of crazy things. But there's one thing that I want our church to really be faithful in this new year. And it's crazy and it's bold. But I want you guys, if you really mean it, to make this your new year resolution. This year, I myself am dedicated, and I hope you are as well, to stop telling God your problems. Stop telling God how bad it is. He knows. You don't need to remind him. This is a year that we stop telling God and complaining. And it's a year that we just start believing. Can you go a whole year without telling God one problem? And can you go a whole year believing and speaking the word of God? That's a tough one, right? That's because my prayers are all about problems and me and all this. Is it in you? If this will be your New Year's resolution, I'm serious, would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I will gladly do that. See, I admire your honesty. Some of us like, nope. I'm a problem teller. That's good. You hold those hands up high. And starting today, when you leave this building, no more complaining. No more problem telling. But you start proclaiming the word of God when you're in that graveyard. And as we pray together as a church, I want you to just think about your graveyard. Think about the dry bones you've been looking at, the problems you've been waiting to see revival in. As God asks you, can these bones live? He's still God and he's still in control. You surrender now as we spend a moment here in worship. The bones that you're looking at. And I want to stand here today. If you're in need of prayer, you just come forward. And I also want to invite this new year the opportunity to make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior. Maybe you're like that cup. There's an emptiness inside of you. There's a void. And I can tell you, it's because you need duct tape. And that duct tape is Jesus Christ. You can fill your life up with anything, thinking that that's what you need. You can fill it up with pleasure. We can fill it up with money and friends and sex and whatever you want. But isn't it interesting that you're only left empty and void? Because only God and in Christ do you find full satisfaction. He loves you. He knows your sins. He knows your mistakes. He knows your failures. But he still wants to fill you with his love and his presence. The Bible says, if anyone acknowledges me as Lord, if you acknowledge with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that he died for your sins and resurrected, you will be saved. That's it. That's all you need. So while we worship, and you feel that calling, you feel God tugging your heart. You know, it's interesting when You know that this is God calling you, but you feel like, just no, not today. Don't let this go by. This is the greatest opportunity of your life. If you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I also want you to come forward, and I want to pray with you. Whatever your needs, you come to the altar this morning and lay it before the Lord. Can we worship together as a family now? Well, isn't that so true? Where the Lord never lets us go. His hand is always upon you, like he had upon Ezekiel through any graveyard. And I believe with all my heart that someone needed to remember that the hand of the Lord is upon you through any valley you're going through. And God has brought you into a very difficult place, but he's not going to keep you there. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this word. We thank you for this new year, this new day, Father. Lord, we know that the graveyard is not forever. We know that 2012 will be our revival. Will you come through? Father, be with those that maybe feel like you've let go of them, that you've forgotten them. Father, you're still God. And we know that these bones can still live, that it's not over. In Jesus' name, we speak your word, knowing, Father, that we will no longer continue to tell you our problems, but know that revival is in your hands. And all God's church said, amen. Well, how many of you needed to hear that? I know I did. A great time.